This Twin Peaks Investing Podcast is brought to you in association with
ShareSco.
From
ShareSco, the
UK's number one investment data and analysis software
for
private investors and traders.
On Twitter,
visit ShareSco.co.uk and discover the advantage.
And for those that can't see him, I think the colour is what, Pete? Is it orange or is it a nice red?
You know what? This camera thing, whatever, it just gets it so wrong. This is like a sort of red, reddy with a tinge of pinky kind of colour. But it comes
salmon. The football players would call it salmon, Pete.
Mate, it's a bit fishy.
Don't be down
it's
with bit... pros, mate.
It's a fishy jumper, but luckily it doesn't smell of fish, which is handy.
Mate, listen. Well, we as investors have to swim against the current, mate. You know what I mean?
Upstream,
so that's an appropriate jumper you've got on today. For those that can't see Pete, that you need to get across to YouTube to have a look and subscribe whilst you're there. He's got a salmon jumper on today, or salmon fleece, I'd say.
It's not as shocking.
Welcome to the show, Pete.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's not as shocking as that emergency sweatshirt I had on that day. Remember that bright yellow one?
I remember that. We're trying, I think
anyway,
some people sending me feedback to say, can you ask Pete to burn that? Something. No, I'm only joking. Hello, folks, and welcome to this podcast. We're in cheerier mood today. I think it's because I've been delirious for the last couple of weeks. I've had too many bits of bad news, and then I had some bad news again yesterday, which nearly tipped me over the edge. I'm just trying to keep it together, folks. You know, opening my jam jar, taking out some blessings out of there, having a little read, going for long walks, staying off the alcohol until Friday afternoon. Afternoon. Yeah, we're at 3 o'clock. If I can get to 3 o'clock, that'll be great. I went to a comedy show, Pete. Went to a comedy show. I'm losing track of the days now. Monday night, I went to a comedy show. We're raising money for Memphis.
Yeah, I remember you saying you're
absolutely
out.
Absolutely brilliant show.
Excellent.
And the comedians were fantastic. One of the guys that were on it, Jared Christmas, the main host, was on it. It was brilliant. And then there was a guy called Scott Bennett. If you ever find the comedian Scott Bennett anywhere in your vicinity, definitely go and see his performance.
Cool.
Absolutely smashed it and helped raise nearly £1,700 on the night for Memphis.
Oh, that's good.
So that was a cracking event. I think we had about 100 people in the room as well. And we've got our own facility to sell alcohol. So a really, really good night. Howling, Pete. Absolutely howling. I needed it as well. You know, it's the only thing that was helping me through this torrent of bad news at the minute is laughter and humour, banter.
You've got to have a blowout sometimes.
Alcohol.
Now you've got to have a blowout sometimes, haven't you? When it just
absolutely.
it can all sort of pile up on you, and it's a release, isn't it? It's what people do.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So, mate, have the markets been making you feel like you need a release as well?
As I said to you before, the markets the markets don't bother me as much, Pete. It's personal, emotional stuff with family and friends and parents and kids and those sort of things. Those are the things that toll on me.
Yeah.
And I've not shared this with people before, but one of my biggest weaknesses is bereavement and grief. So when I lose people, it just knocks me sideways, and I've tried everything to be better and stronger at it. You know, if you said to me, all right, AstraZeneca portfolio goes to zero tomorrow, or X dies, it'd be X that dies that knocks me the most. That's how bad it is for me.
Although obviously you'd be destitute, but that's another issue.
You'd be destitute because I've got money elsewhere other than AstraZeneca. But that's what I'm saying. The weighting of AstraZeneca has obviously skewed my wealth. Yeah. But if somebody X, Y, and Z died, I'd be like, take the money. I'd rather have them back.
It is a weird one because I've said on the show before that I find the market affects my mood more than I would like it to. And I
work on that with you, Pete, for the last 6 years, and it hasn't, I've not made any impact.
I sort of think it's just in my makeup, and I don't think there's any way I can sort of get around it. I mean, well, the obvious way I do get around it is being ahead of the game, and you know, the fact I've got hedges on, because as we're recording this on Wednesday evening, 22nd of February 2023, and in the last few days we've had some softness. And I've got short position on the FTSE 100, a small short position. I think it's about 12% of my long portfolio value. So it's only a small hedge. But last night I added a bit more. So I've got this time on the S&P 500. So I've gone 7%. So I'm up to about 20% hedged effectively on my portfolio. And I find once I've done that, psychologically, that's easier to deal with, because instead of worrying about my stocks falling in value, which to a large extent, if you're holding quality stocks, they're going to recover anyway. Rather than worrying about my stocks falling in value, I'm sort of focused on what's happening with the shorts. And I find that really helps. It focuses my mind that way.
And that's a good idea.
And whether I should add more to them, you know, obviously the thinking I'm having as we're talking on Wednesday 23rd, was it 23rd? Hang on, 22nd.
22nd, yeah. 22nd.
Yeah, I'm sort of thinking, well, will I be needing to add to those a little bit more? I'm sort of thinking to get a bit more on the S&P 500 if I see the signals that make me feel that's necessary. You know, we've had a bit of a, as we're recording this, the US market has bounced. It had a big drop yesterday. So that was on the Monday. It was a big drop, yeah? And then the markets have bounced a bit today, but only a slight bit. And it's the kind of bounce you sort of think, yeah, is it actually going to be sustainable, or is it a bit of a bounce that tries to go up and then just falls down again? I feel we're into, I mean, I've been talking about it for ages on these podcasts, that you nearly always get sell-offs around March, April. And we're sort of, at the end of February, you know, we'll be in March within a couple of weeks. You know, we are there, aren't we, really? Once you tip into March, you're into that really sort of nervous period for markets. And we had such a good run at the start of the year. It sort of wouldn't be a bit surprising if a bit got given back, you know. That's sort of how these things tend to go, isn't it?
I agree, Pete. We're sitting here, ladies and gents, as Pete said, on the 22nd of February. Got a good run in the markets so far. We hit the all-time high last Thursday the 16th of February. I can't recall what the intraday high was, but we closed out at 8,014. We've ebbed and flowed a couple of times above that sort of level intraday, but the high currently is 8,014. Today, the markets had another little wobble. And the intraday low was actually dipped below 7,900, and it touched 7,879. We closed higher than that, down 0.59% at 7,930. So we're just about 80 points below that figure, Pete.
I mean, it just seems to me that we are rolling over, you know, and you can see it in the small cap stocks, especially smaller stuff has taken quite a bath in the last few days. And I think it was a bit soft last week as well. A lot of it was coming off last week. So it does seem that there's less, that there isn't the enthusiasm on the buy side that there was a few weeks ago.
Yeah, I think a lot of it is to do with the activities in America and worrying about further hikes and so on and so on and so forth. But the reasons why we've done so well, and we've spoken about this a few times, I'm not going to go through it all over again, has been because of the energy stocks that we've got, and now we've had another little help again from the likes of GSK and AstraZeneca. But it was Shell, it was BP again, and Centrica as well, helping the markets over the past year to date. That's really helped the markets going forward. And I think those sort of energy stocks, depending on what happens with the market, could help them go a little bit higher, more so going forward. And it really depends on what they do next with interest rates in America and what we do with our interest rates and whether inflation actually comes down. And as I said to you in the last podcast, we were hitting that ceiling of just shy of 8,000, weren't we? Kept bobbing up and then dropping down, dropping down. Did that so many times. Then it finally went through and it stayed up there and above 8,000 intraday, a couple of days. And without much noise, it's given up 100 points already. Intraday to what the low was today, sitting at now 80 points down from its high and plus or minus a couple of points. So it's still strong. If we saw 7,800 go with knife through butter, then I'd be worried about the markets just not showing any strength. And all the concerns that people had, the analysts had, we as investors had prior to December 31st, we were like, 2023 is going to be such a horrible year. And then we started that first week, the second week, the third week. I'm going, what's going on here?
Yeah.
everyone's going, whoop, 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 cheering the markets higher. And we're sitting at 8,000. Everyone's suddenly gone all quiet, going, yeah, I expected this. Yeah, I've been telling you the market's going to go higher. Oh, and you're going, here comes all the sage voices that we've been telling us that it's going to go higher since the summer when the market was going further and further and further down.
Yeah. They have all
and here we are. We're at 7,930. So we'll see what happens next, mate. America, Friday closing as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're getting up to the end of the financial year for March, April time as well. So, you know, we've got what we've got. Well, I'm not sure. I've lost track of the dates as well for the change on the FTSE 100, reclassifications of the FTSE 100.
I'm not sure when that is.
250. Yeah. Stocks going up and stocks going down. Some going in, some going out. We've got that going on. I'm sure it's end of March. So that's always an interesting quarterly move as well, classifications. So it's going to be an interesting time, Pete.
Yeah, I think, like I said, I think it's often an awkward time for markets. I think the two things, the two big things that stand out to me are inflation situation, where it did appear that inflation was peaking, but there seems to have been a lot of prints recently, I think, in the last sort of couple of weeks, really, where the inflation doesn't seem to be falling as fast as it should. And I think that's what's really causing the worries again now, because obviously it means, you know, if the inflation isn't dropping as quickly as it should or as hoped for, then it's going to mean rates could be higher, rates could be high for longer. I mean, it's funny because I was thinking about this quite a lot, that a lot of the forecasters or the sort of implied forecasts within bond yields, I think in America and in Europe and the UK, are sort of implying that the rate cycle, so the start of rates coming down, could be towards the end of 23 that they start coming down. Now, to me, that seems incredibly soon. I mean, I'm not sure I've ever really noticed interest rates so much as I am at the moment. But I'm sure in the past, whenever interest rates were raised up to high levels, it did take quite a time for them to start coming down. Surely quicker than like 9 months or whatever. You know, it almost seems too fast to me.
You've used the word there, which I don't think is correct, though, Pete. You said interest rates going so high. They're not actually that high.
No.
Relatively from zero for X amount of years to where it is now, it's high. But in essence, they can't allow the interest rates to stay up too high for too long because it's crippling everything. Yeah? Yeah, CPI, everything, cost of living, everything. So every mortgage, every rent, every commercial rate that everyone's business rate everyone's got out there, they need to keep it low. They need to bring that back down ASAP to get the GDP moving again. Yeah, because we're what are we in the league table of countries and across Europe and across the world, GDP wise, we're at the bottom of the 20 well, yeah. GDP growth. So we need to get that.
Yeah, the IMF forecast. So that's why.
Yeah, so that's why they wanting to get interest rates down quicker, especially in the UK. And if they can do it before the end of the year, or stop raising by the end of the summer / September, start lowering again by October, November, December, that'll be a benefit to other people and the country per se. The longer we stay not growing as a country, the less inward investment we can get from elsewhere. They'll go to other parts of Europe and invest rather than the UK if our interest rates and our investment community is hampered by high interest rates and high inflation. That's what they're trying to do.
No, it's totally true. But I guess one of the big difficulties is that when you look at the inflation problem, like the one that really stands out is food. I mean, I was in Tesco's yesterday. I mean, I've got in the habit of shopping in Lidl recently, and my brain has adjusted down to Lidl prices. And sorry, Aldi, yeah, Aldi. And my brain is down at Aldi prices. So I went to a Tesco's yesterday. I just couldn't believe what they were charging for some things. It was absolutely shocking. Things that you sort of think were around £1.20 in Tesco's 1 or 2 years ago, and now £2.60. Yeah, they are over 100% higher. Loads of items like that, and you just think that is absolutely incredible. And some things like I bought Gorilla Glue, right? I bought some Gorilla Glue, long story. That bloody stuff was £9. And you're thinking, £9 for a bit of glue? It's insane, you know? But that's just indicative of how much inflation is really quite strong. And when you bear in mind that we've got these problems in the supermarkets at the moment with shortages of salad stuff, so tomatoes, cucumbers, peppers, they're all being rationed. If you go into Tesco's, you're only allowed to buy three tomatoes, three cucumbers. That seems like a lot of cucumber compared to the tomato, and three peppers. So imagine if you've got a family of five and you're only allowed to have that. I mean, it's like, hang on, how are you going to fit? It's like feeding the 50,000 with the fishes and the bread and the wine, you know, it's like
Absolutely.
impossible.
I think the prime example we have in our household is the boss likes her Lurpak, Pete.
All
Her
right.
Lurpak butter,
I don't think
Pete. He
that's
likes her Lurpak.
rationed.
No, it's not rationed, but the point I was going to make was I do most of the shopping, so, and I like to go out to do it rather than doing it online. And I remember not so long ago, probably pre-lockdown, you used to get a tub of Lurpak for about £2, £2.50, mate. Yeah.
What's it
In
now?
Tesco's. It's
What's it
nearer to a
now?
fiver.
Mad.
Nearer to a fiver, Pete, and I'm going, what? How's that even possible? How can you lump on 100% on butter?
It's nuts.
And
It's
I
nuts.
daren't turn up with any other products, mate, other than that one. Otherwise, it's like I'm not putting that on my bread or whatever it is, on my toast. But
So,
yeah, just yes, things have gone up, mate, but we have to get
mate,
used to it.
what you
Me.
could do is get a Lurpak, unfold it
No, I
really
can Pete, I know where you're going. I
carefully,
couldn't do that because
keep
it's
the
on the taste
wrapper,
buds, Pete.
keep the
It's on the taste
wrapper.
buds.
Nah,
No,
mate,
it's on the
it's all
taste
in the
buds.
mind. It's all in the mind.
No, 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 no.
So I was
So
going
yeah,
to say,
so I'm always looking, I'm almost doing my research to find out who owns Lurpak so I can put the money there instead.
good thinking.
Go where the money is, mate. Go and
It
look and
must
see the
be
product.
Unilever.
Unilever. Have a look at Unilever,
Must be
exactly.
Unilever.
I'll have to have a look at that. Come on, let's talk about some stocks, mate.
I
Let's
was
get
going to
rid
say
away from food.
the other thing that is a concern. So as we say, inflation, interest rates, whatever, are the one big concern. I think the other one is the situation around Ukraine. I think there's a lot of big level fears now that China on Friday is expected to do something that could go either way. So effectively, China apparently is going to come, President Xi is going to come out with a peace deal. So a peace arrangement, to get peace settlement in Ukraine. But the issue that is concerning people is that it could be a peace deal backed up by China saying, if you don't do this, we will provide lethal force to Russia to
Wow, I've
yeah.
not heard
So
that. Who's that?
basically, so that is the
Blimey.
twist that is so in a way it could go one of two ways. It could be that it sort of makes a peace deal happen. And if that was to happen, I mean, fantastic. And it would markets would obviously love that. And everyone, I mean, it'd be such a good thing in so many ways. But of course, the problem with that is it would cement Putin with the gains he's got and all the rest of it. The danger, if that if that peace deal doesn't happen, and if China then starts providing weapons to Putin, that's hugely problematic, hugely. And it would, it, you know, what are we going to do? Start sanctioning China? I mean, it's just, can you imagine what the economic turmoil of that? I mean, it'd just be horrendous. Yeah. So I think that's something, you know, we mustn't panic about it. We mustn't think, oh, my God, it's the end. You know, it's not the end of the world, but it's just a risk we need to be very aware of. And on Friday, we'll be getting the news about that. So when this podcast goes live, we'll probably have the news on that by then as to what this peace deal is. So that's a big, big development that's I think is really quite important.
It's very important, Pete. It's one I've overlooked today because I was had my head in the head in all manner of different things.
So much going on, mate.
It's massive. It's massive. That will be absolutely massive. You know, and unfortunately, we've probably been softened a little bit this January, February, because we've not seen any 1.5%, 2%, or 3% moves on the FTSE or the FTSE All Share or AIM to date. Last year, I'm not sure how many of those we had, but we had plenty. I think this first one, you know, some people that are a bit, you know, got, you know, soft chins, they're going to be like, seeing stars, mate. If we see a 3% move on the FTSE in one day because we get some bad news. Ouch.
Yeah.
Right. Let's hope and pray that we get this resolved, mate, because we're there or thereabouts on the 1 year anniversary of this whole thing starting, aren't we now?
Yeah, it is. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
so yeah, we wanted it to be over all that time ago. So, okay. I think probably now at this stage, Pete, we'll take a little mini break and talk about the charity. Queen Pete's investing charity with Memphis, which is on the Just Giving page. So you can search up for that at Twin Peaks Challenge Just Giving page 2023. We are currently on 777 so far, folks. So thank you ever so much for that. We've had some recent people make some donations. My mate on the charity night we had on Monday, my boss had bought her friends, got her friends some tickets, and then her mate couldn't go. So I gave my mate these two tickets. He's like, no, I'll have to pay for them. So he's put his ticket, the price of the tickets on here. So he's put Pete the legend, because I got him to go to the gig. Cheers, all buddy. Right. And he donated £24 and £6 gift aid, despite the fact that I gave him the tickets.
Good stuff.
Because I'm generous like that, but he was equally generous and wanted to pay for them. A friend of mine, Mike, I'm not sure he wants his name given out, so I won't give his name. Mike M made a donation of £150 plus £37.50 gift aid.
Excellent.
And he's put, every penny goes exactly where it needs to be. Keep up the good work, folks. That's £150 for Mike plus gift aid. Mm-hmm. An individual that wants to remain anonymous wrote TPI94, another informative podcast. Thanks, and gave £8.
Excellent.
Gift aid.
Thanks,
and
Mike.
Then our good friend, I'm sure, is it? I thought it was. Anyway, Up the Toffees, that follows us on Twitter.
Yeah, we know.
Donated £25 plus £6 gift aid. So thank you ever so much.
Excellent.
Wrote, really sound advice. Always a pleasure to listen to. I'm gradually implementing some of the pre-entry criteria. And instead of selling on dips, I am now adding with more confidence, mostly, exclamation marks.
Yeah, good stuff.
And then a chap that follows me on Twitter, known, given his full name here, as Mr. Sanjay Kariya, donated £100 plus £25 gift aid. Thank you, Sanjay. Thank you for all you do for investors that, like me, want to learn more. P.S. Your podcast is pretty good too.
Good stuff.
So that was from Sanjay. Let me just see who else was underneath that. That was 7 days ago. And then we had Ronnie Chopra at Ronnie on the Markets.
Thanks, Ronnie. Nice one, mate.
Ronnie kindly donated £20 to us. So thank you, Ronnie. Excellent. Hopefully
cheers,
speak
man.
To you soon regarding some other matters. And we mentioned Martin 13 at the last one. So that's us at 777, ladies and gents.
Cool.
So if you've enjoyed this podcast or any other podcast in the past, or you've learned anything, if you can help us nudge between now and the next podcast, to £1,000, that'll be absolutely brilliant. It just takes a couple of you to donate a fiver or a tenner, and we're on our way, and we're on our way, and then we're going to hit 1,000 between now and in 14 days' time, and that will be our first marker getting through that 1,000 barrier. So thank you all that's donated so far, and any of you that can donate a fiver or a tenner going forward, please, whatever, please do so. Thank you ever so much. You can find the Just Giving page just by going into the search on Just Giving and typing in Twin Peaks Challenge 2023. Thank you, ladies and gents.
I'll put a link on my website page once I get chat. I've been a bit busy with stuff in the last few evenings or whatever. But
let me just say this. Until you've made your donation,
none of your followers
will make a donation. So you're holding this back, mate. So get on with it.
I will do it, man. I will do it.
I'm only joking. I know how busy you've been, mate, as well. And you've had other things going on.
Yeah,
not a worry. Not a problem.
We've had a lot to do on the Twin Peaks challenge of the five stocks, and that's
Do you want to share with people what's been going on regarding some of the mechanisms and the legit, just some of the logistical things we've been trying to overcome.
Absolutely,
or you've been trying to overcome.
I mean, it's
to
just,
share some of it, because people think this is a walk in the park. It's a massive undertaking.
Yeah, no, I mean we've had such a brilliant response. I mean, we at me and Peter, and we thought you know that'll be an amount to coordinate and to handle. As it happens, we've got some like 165, so it's been a fantastic response, been brilliant. But obviously that's a lot more to handle, and so you've got all of these different responses coming in with the five stocks chosen, and some of those five stocks aren't valid, so we have to get them validated and get new ones to replace them and things like that, in various cases. And then we've had the issue that we've been getting it set up on SharePad and getting it so that all of the stocks and all of the people are within SharePad, and it sort of automatically updates what each of the stocks is worth. But then we've got a separate Excel spreadsheet that links through in macros and things, and that will record the total for the portfolios for each of the people for all of the different months, because we're going to have winners every month that win a prize, which I'm sure Peter will tell us about at some point. So we have to be able to work out for February, for March, for April, for each of the different months, who's won it and stuff. And getting all that sorted out on the spreadsheet and getting it exactly as we need it and getting all the data input has been quite a task. But we're getting there, and we're pretty much sorted now. So we're fairly confident we'll have it all ready.
Pete's breaking up just a little bit and freezing a little bit on screen at the minute. I'm hopefully we'll get him fully back on this. So at the moment, chaps, ladies, we are in a situation where we've got 165-ish, I think, which is what Pete said. And what we're trying to do is to make sure that when we record the next podcast, which will be number 96, recording on the 8th of March, I believe, if I get my dates right. And that will be the announcement for the first month's winner. So that'll be February's winner will be announced on that. The bit that Pete didn't tell you is that at the moment, and this is not a fix, ladies and gents, is that when I spoke to Pete yesterday about some of the logistics of this particular competition, Pete was winning, right? What I must add, right, that regardless of what happens in this competition, if Pete wins a month or I win a month, the person that's in second place will be getting the prize, okay?
Yeah,
so don't worry about that. We're never going to take a prize off somebody else that's one of our listeners, okay? We'll try and get a prize from the other people that are sponsoring us, but we won't take your prize. So that's where we're at the minute. But Pete's been doing a lot of work on this, so we're going to get it right for you, ladies and gents, and tell you what's going on the 8th. We're going to, I think we're going to speak about the top three, and then say who the number one is, do it in reverse order, give the name out. We'll try and get your details off you immediately. get it to the right people to then send out the prize as to what that is for you. So you can get it before the next show. And then all we'll ask you to do is just send us a little screenshot at some point when you've received your prize or you've chosen your prize. And we take it from there and then we roll on and we start fresh at 0% for the month of March. Yeah. And then we do the March winner. But we're always, always going to be simultaneously running a continual overall competition challenge so that we're going to get to the end of the year.
Year winner.
Yeah. We'll have a total, the person that's got the top percentage returns for the portfolio is the winner, overall winner, gets prizes. And the runner up will get a prize or prizes. And the person that wins for December will get a prize. We'll have three winners, hopefully, for December 2023. I think that's going to be, we're going to have to record that winners one in January. So it would be a nice way to start the year. Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's good. Cool. That'll be good, right, mate. That'd be good.
So what I'm going to do on this bit, Pete.
Our man at SharePad. Let's thank our man at ShearPad. Matt, yeah. Let's thank Matt.
All our men and women at ShearPad, Peter. Come on.
Well, absolutely. But they've done a fantastic job of actually creating spreadsheets and macros and all this kind of stuff and getting a lot of the data in. So they've been brilliant. Thank you to them.
They've got some fantastic computer software engineers and technologists there to create all the software, all the bits and pieces and write bits of code for us.
This is a quick hello to you, our valued Twin Peaks Investing podcast listener. Whatever channel you're listening to, please make sure to subscribe and you'll always be the first to get the new episodes. Thank you for your continued support.
On the Twin Peaks five stock challenge, I've got to ask you about, there was an entry in there that was it had the name EVS, like EVS or something. And I was thinking, who's that? Do you know anything about that? What is it?
You put me right in there. You've thrown me under the bus as per usual, mate.
Under the bus.
Typical of you, that is. I was going to keep that secret. Right. So EVS is my mini boss, right? And one of the things I've been trying to do for years now is to try and encourage her to participate and to just have a little bit of, you know, interest in my passion, right? Which is, you know, investing in stocks and shares. So we sat down prior to this competition started, and I said, look, these are all different stocks that I like. Some of them that we own, you know, what you're going to be getting at some point. And she's like rolling her eyes. Is there anything to do with K-pop here, Dad? Korean pop music? No, this is to do with investing, right? So sat down, talked until she was like nodding off.
Not interested at all.
And got a bit like doing the Grand National. Back in the day, we still did the Grand National, didn't we? We still put them on, or it's sparkly one, or gray this, or the color of the outfits, you know. Yeah. So I like that name, Dad. I like that name. I'm like, why do you like that one? What about the yield? What about the PE? It's like, what's, Dad, explain that to me then. So spent a bit of time on it. And she's chosen those stocks, not me forcing her down a tunnel to choose these stocks. She's chosen those five stocks, Pete.
Excellent. Yeah. That's good.
So, gotta go. And I'm hoping that when we talk about how she's doing each month and what her chosen picks are each month, I'm hoping to garner a bit more interest from her. She's 15, Pete. She's got no inclination, no interest. I'm just trying my level best. You know what I mean? Because I'm not going to be here forever. My boss isn't going to be here forever. And she's going to get this portfolio. She's going to be just sell it all and give me a bigger house. That's what she'll do. You know, her and her mates just cruising down the road in a Maserati or something daft like that, as young people do these days. Buy a car first and think later.
Oh, don't. Mate, the way the market's going, she'll be driving down the road in a Lada.
Who knows, mate? Yeah, in Lada.
Yeah, it'll be an EV, won't it? Yeah, no, don't.
Absolutely. So with that, Pete, I wanted to touch on carrying on the Twin Peaks challenge. I picked out a portfolio partly because one of their stocks was out today with some news.
Yeah.
And this portfolio is from, I'm assuming it's a chap, because when I spoke to him via DMs recently, he did give the impression it was a male. So this is a person whose Twitter handle is CypherSenseRes1. That's at CIPHERSENSE RES numerical one. And his picks were Supreme, Pete.
SUP, yeah.
Paypoint.
BAY.
Yeah. Angling Direct.
What's that? AG?
Yeah, ANG. ANG, the fishing one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Capita, CPI.
Yeah.
And Computer Center. So I'm just going to run through those five stocks.
Yeah.
That's... and give people an overview of this portfolio.
CCC, isn't it? Computer
triple
Center.
C. Yeah, triple C. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Cool.
So I asked CypherSense One why he picked these particular stocks, and he gave me a little brief, and then I'm just going to add a bit of overview regarding those stocks as well, and just jump in as you're ready, Pete. I'm going to do Supreme first.
Yeah.
And his reply was Supreme hashtag SUP. Difficult early life as PLC, but strong runway for growth in vaping, health, and committed founder. Basically, I like the stock. It's got attractive dividends. It's been it's quite good generation. You know, it generates a lot of cash, Pete.
Mm.
And that's the reason why I thought Supreme was quite interesting. So what is Supreme? Supreme is a manufacturer, distributor, brand owner of fast-moving consumer products. The company supplies products across five key categories: batteries, lighting, vaping, sports nutrition, wellness, and branding household consumer goods. The company offers a range of dry cell disposable lithium specialist and rechargeable batteries, and in lots of other bits and pieces, including protein powders and drinks and all the rest of it. The share price has been battered over the past 12 months, currently down about 47%, closed today at £1.025. The range of that share price is 70 pence, which was achieved in October 2022, £2.05 in February 2022. So you can see it's near the lower end. PE currently of 12, yield of 4.4. I think he's bought that as a recovery play, but... you know, it's paying a dividend while you're waiting for it to recover, Pete. Any comments, mate?
Looking on SharePad, it's showing us a forward PE for next year, for the current year probably, of 10.4, dropping to 8.8, which is, you know, quite attractive numbers. Forecast dividend, that's interesting. Forecast dividend 3.3%. But the following year, it's expected to fall, which I don't really understand why that would be. That's slightly strange. Hmm. So there might, maybe people who hold it, maybe there was like some sort of special dividend expected at some point, and maybe that's skewing things. I don't know.
Hmm.
But
I've not looked into that, mate.
No, it's weird. But anyway, when you look at the chart on it, it looks like a typical one where it's, I'm trying to think what people can see, but basically it's fallen down. So how would it look to people watching? Yeah, it's fallen down and it's into this sideways range again. So I think it's going to be sideways for a while.
It's waiting for a catalyst, essentially, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it's quite an interesting stock. As you say, the fact that it sort of has lots of small cost items, if you like, not like really expensive things to buy, batteries and whatever, and lighting things. It's not hugely expensive. So I think it's lots of repeat purchases and kind of steady stuff. So the cash flow and whatever should be good. My only thing with it, and it's more of a personal thing, and it all depends how investors feel. I'm not overly loving of vaping. I think it's got some real issues, yeah, around children and stuff. And I'm not really happy. You know, I didn't used to be a particularly ethical investor, but I've definitely changed in recent years. I'm much more fussy about the stuff I put money into. But there's actually a very good reason for that, because the trouble is, like with gambling companies, right? If you put money into gambling companies, the problem you've got is that regulators always give them attention. So, you know, a regulator could suddenly come out and say, oh, we're changing the rules on this, and your share price gets absolutely hammered. So, you know, so I think apart from the ethical kind of side, I mean, how you feel about it personally, there's also the sort of, they can make not the best of investments as well if they get a lot of scrutiny.
Absolutely agree, mate. Good points there. Well made as well. Okay, his second stock is Paypoint, Pete, ticker symbol PAL. Currently,
PAY
giving you PAY, sorry, PAY dot L. Sorry, PAY dot L. So what is Paypoint? It's essentially it claims to be the UK's leading retail technology services and payments provider. Company operates in three divisions: shopping, e-commerce, and payments. Banking. Its shopping division provides digital solutions, technology, and payments for small and medium enterprises, essentially, and retailers deliver vital community services. So, yeah, you can pay your bills by their offering there. And obviously, they've got lots of different relationships, including the likes of Amazon, Xbox, PlayStation, Paysafe, Monzo, and Appreciate Group, which recently got taken over, did it not?
Yes, it did. Yeah.
So they might have exposure to an even larger group now via Appreciate Group. Shares currently today were £4.97. They're down 20% in the past year. Range £4.80. That was December 2022. The high was August 2022 of £6.60. I had the yield, the PE, around 9 when I looked at it on the various platforms, and the yield is currently 6%. So that's an interesting recovery play there, digitally related. As things go, I think more and more people that are feeling financial crunch will be possibly having to utilize Paypoint services going forward to pay incrementally their bills, you know, so that might be a thing for them.
Yeah, looking on the on SharePad, it's on a forward PE of 9.2, dropping to 8.7. Those are low numbers, you know. Forward dividend, 8.2%, rising to 8.6%. It doesn't look like it's got much debt. From memory, it is quite cash generative and stuff. And I know they're doing some quite interesting things with like electronic point of sale kind of software. Yeah. So I think it's like a fairly new thing they've been involved in recent years. And I think that, from what I understand, that's going pretty well. So I think if you're a small independent retailer, you might have like a checkout system effectively that's done by Paypoint. That's how I understand it. It's something along those lines. Yeah. So, and that does seem to be quite going quite well. So I think it's a really interesting business. Looking at the chart, it sort of like dropped down, you know, had the hit, and it sort of bounced up and it's come back down again. So it's probably going to be in that sideways range, but you've got the risk that it might drop down below. You know, you always run that.
Always the risk, yeah, indeed.
Yeah, you know, so I think it's an interesting stock. And the good thing is it's those kind of repeat things again, you know. It's got that sort of, you know, people who use its services are going to keep using its services. It's got that kind of reliability and repetitiveness to it. So, yeah, I think it's an interesting. So I got a feeling we talked about it on the podcast about a year ago, wasn't it? I do remember us.
We talked about it before. Yeah, talked definitely. About it a couple of times.
Yeah, I think it's a lot of light.
Okay. This one here is called Angling Direct, third pick, ticker symbol ANG.
Yeah.
And that today had a. The reason why I'm talking about this portfolio is because it had a full year trading update today, and the shares, the company basically predicted full year profits in line and market consensus forecasts, as it revealed 2.2%, sorry, revenue growth despite consumer headwinds caused by cost of living pressures. So the shares eventually rose today 3% to 30.5 pence. The shares are down 44% on the year. It's had a really terrible year. There's something involving their site getting hit by porn. Someone had redirected their URL to porn, and then it battered their share price. Okay. All manner of different things went wrong.
Oh, overstocking my God.
And all the rest of it. Yeah. Fish porn, Pete. Oh, fish porn.
What a nightmare.
So the range is 24 pence, which was only achieved a low in January.
Probably like a good pence. Salmon, mate. Yeah.
Stop. And 60 pence in March 2022 of last year. So we're coming up to a year to when it's last reached its peak. 60 pence is currently at 30 pence. So hopefully that bottom is in now. regarding the share price. It's got, as of the 31st of January, it's got net cash of £40 million. So, you know, it's got a bit of cash to keep it going. I haven't got here what the market cap is to see
14.
What it is, but it shouldn't be too expensive.
So did you say 14 million?
14. It's got £40 million in cash at the minute. Yeah.
Well,
yeah, what's the market cap?
According to SharePad, the market cap's 23 million. Wow.
There you go. So there's a nice cash buffer. That could be very interesting indeed.
That does explain something, because it's showing on SharePad at 30 pence with a forward PE of 54.9 dropping to 32.5, which looks bonkers high, yeah? But if it's got half the market cap as cash, which it appears to have, more than half, then actually that, if you strip that cash out and look at the enterprise value, the true PE could be a lot lower. And it's also worth bearing in mind that we're in that part of the cycle where the earnings could be artificially compressed. And if and when things were to improve, their earnings would get better anyway. So you've got like a reasonable, it's probably not a bad rating on very compressed earnings. So, it's an interesting one. I mean, it's one I've watched for quite a while, because I don't mind the odd dabble with a fishing rod, you know, when my health is up to it. I don't mind going fishing. So I have a sort of half interest in it. And I have actually used their website to buy some fishing stuff before. I'm sure I did years ago.
I'm so glad you added on what you bought at that particular stage when you visited their website, Pete. Thank you for clarifying that.
I had to clarify that.
Thank you.
That was the only, nothing too.
So today in the statement today, Andy Torrance, who's the CEO of Angling Direct, commented, "We are pleased with the progress achieved in full year 2023, despite the difficult macroeconomic environment. Following the opening of our European distribution centre in March, it was particularly pleasing to see such strong sales growth in Europe, which is further evidence of the opportunity that lies ahead of the group." So, yeah, that's why they were high in March of 2022. And now they're seeing the rewards of that particular investment there, Pete. So could be a good turnaround story there.
No, I think it's an interesting one, definitely.
Yeah. Okay, I'm going to quickly run across the other two portfolio stocks there. And he wrote CPI, which is Capita, deleveraging, simplifying the business, key supplier to the UK government, of which of course it is. So Capita is a multi-billion pound company that's been shrunken down because the share price has been hammered over the past umpteen years. There was concern about its debt and it would go the way of other large consultancy companies that were, you know,
outsourced, wasn't it?
Revenue from the government. So that they are essentially a consulting, transformation, digital services business with a lot of their business coming from the government. Operates three division: public service, experience, and portfolio in UK, United Kingdom, Europe, India, South Africa, and elsewhere. Lots of blue chip clients, etc., etc. Everyone should know what Capita does. Share price today was 28.58 pence. The shares are up 1% over the year, so maybe they're stabilizing. The range is 19.9 pence back to March of 2022, with a high of 30.25 pence to July 2022. No dividend paid there. PE, I've got it from a different source to you, Pete, of 21. What have you got there?
Well, mate, yeah. On Capita, it's got forward PE of 9.5, falling 7.3, which does look low. The only thing that I'm not so sure about is the debt situation on it. It does appear
it's one that had quite a lot of debt, but they've been throwing things off and selling things down and trying to reduce the debt. Historically had been high. I think it's coming down, Pete, their debt. Yeah,
I thought they had, but I don't know if I can just quickly see that. Try to see their last results. Usually you can spot it very quickly. Oh, right, yeah. Significant debt reduction they're talking about. So that must be here. Strong, right. So this is from, I'm looking on the app that I use, 13th of December 2022. So that's a couple of months ago. And on there, scroll down, it says a stronger balance sheet, disposal proceeds of £462 million received to date in 2022. Completion disposals of pay 360 for 239, agreed sale of Capita Translation and Interpreting 221, blah blah blah. So you know they have, as you said, disposed of things and got rid of a lot of debt. So that's, yeah, I mean it, you know, it certainly looks a pretty low rating. And as the person points out, it's, you know, a supplier to government that's, you know, in probably in a quite a good place. Yeah, mate, something that hit me as I was just looking at my app. This shows how our podcasts are recorded live and real time. So this is at 7:45 on the 22nd of February, yeah. And basically the Dow has now gone, well, into slightly red, and the Nasdaq comp, which was up quite well, has dropped back. So I'm guessing that the Fed meeting minutes have now been released. And it looks like, on the face of it at the moment, the markets aren't overly pleased with it, although they haven't like really collapsed. So perhaps it's just a bit of, you know, they were sort of expecting them to be not great,
Yeah, but it's
you know.
giving up the positivity they had earlier on in the
Yeah, I
day.
mean, the Nasdaq, when I looked about 20, 30 minutes ago, the Nasdaq comp was up 0.6, is now just up 0.2, and it's been dropping back. So, you know, it,
Yeah.
things are still
The
very
last hour, the last,
fragile.
yeah, it's very volatile when they come out, the minutes come out, and it's usually, I always have a look at where the high was prior to the minutes coming out or the data coming out, whichever the data is, what the low is, yeah, after the news comes out and where it finishes. And I'm trying to find the Fibonacci's on that levels, Pete. And if we're above where the before the news came out, then that's that points to me as a positive outcome regarding what the markets will do the following day. Yeah. But if we hit the low immediately after the news, yeah, and then it goes a foot and it adds another low below that. The next day, it's like a washout. That's the way I've always measured it on a technical sort of level, watching all the Fibonacci levels. And
So
the American markets can move so quickly.
when you say the Fibonacci, so you're looking at Fibonacci's on the intraday
On the
chart, are
intraday
you?
levels, yes,
Okay,
absolutely.
that's interesting.
Absolutely. On the intraday levels.
I mean,
Not on the whole,
obviously.
not on the whole metric for the Nasdaq, just on their movement for the day.
I mean, obviously, what I do, which takes in that movement, is I'm very focused on the candle patterns. So the candle gives me the open position, the close position, the high of the day, the low of the day, and it's how you interpret those candles. So that's a sort of similar graphical way of doing what you're doing, yeah.
More
But
visual
you
in a
need
way.
to understand the candles and what each of the different ones mean. And a lot of the candles don't really mean anything. And you've got to understand that, you know, you've got to realize that.
Agreed.
Whether you are an experienced or new investor, you know how valuable it is to conduct portfolio enhancing analysis and to have easy access to data that will give you the edge. As a Twin Peaks investing podcast listener, you can access an exceptional offer via SharePad from ShareScope, the UK's number one investment data and analysis software for private investors and traders. This special Twin Peaks offer is available to new subscribers only, and you can subscribe using the promo code Twin Peaks. The incredible and exclusive offer means that monthly subscribers will get their second month free, and annual subscribers will get their 13th month free. Sign up and subscribe to SharePad today using the Twin Peaks promo code, and you can save up to £69. Visit sharescope.co.uk/sharepad for further details and subscribe to the investing and trading analysis and data you need.
CipherSense's last pick was Computer Center, ticker symbol CCC, and he wrote undervalued quality UK stock, priced ex growth, CCC, my boring choice that could surprise on the upside and beat earnings targets. If it doesn't, potential special dividend to return cash, excess cash, potential takeover target as well. And they came out on January the 30th, and it had a bit of a pop that day with regards to rising on record Q4 and full year results. And the company saw its computer services revenue rise by over 30% due to strong dollar exposure, and small acquisition helped lift its figures. So that was quite a good sort of review of that particular company. They're essentially an independent technology partner for large corporates and public sector organizations. That's what they do. They're a tech company, as it says on the tin, a computer center company.
Well, I was going to say, I know Computer Center of old, in that when I was, and if my mate, one of my mates is listening, he'll laugh at this, because one of my mates, a gentleman called Tim, who I was at university with, he used to work for Computer Center in well, I think once he'd graduated and stuff, or it might have been his placement year. I think he might have done a placement with them, and then he ended up working for them. And that, you know, that must have been, I mean, God, when was that? That's 30 years ago. Is that right? Is that right? Yeah, it's going to be, you know, nearly 28 years ago that Tim worked for Computer Center. And, you know, it was a reasonably large business then. And since then, it's just gone on from strength to strength. And obviously, our mate James, 1N1James on Twitter, worked at Computer Center, or still works from, or whatever it is. And he's a, you know, fan of the company. And I think rightly so. I think it's a really impressive business.
Yeah, I mean, it's staying here, Pete, when, from the results on the 30th of January, that they're currently sitting on £244 million worth of cash. Obviously, it's quite I think it's about £3 or 4 billion market cap company. So they're doing all right. In essence, is what I'm trying to say there regarding their particular circumstance at the moment. IT reseller. Will they see any competition from other companies in that sort of space? It's possible.
There's two listed companies that are in that space. There's Byit, or Byit, which is BYIT, and there's also Softcat, SCAT, and they're very much the same sort of thing, where they do hardware and they do software and they do. So, say for instance, you know, a sort of medium-sized business or whatever, you know, is building an office block or whatever, and they need PCs and laptops, all that kind of stuff, and they need the software, then Computer Center and the likes of these other guys will do all that installation of all that IT and get it all working and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. I mean, I've just got the proper figures here, Pete.
Yeah.
Here 14 I've got from the source that I'm using here.
Yeah.
Market cap, 2.56 billion.
Yeah,
what I've got here. You want to tell me what the tiny little yield of 3.1 I've got as a yield, but you might have different figures there where you are.
Well, on SharePad, it's got the forecast yield as 3.1% for each of the next 2 years. Now, I think it's worth bearing in mind that Computer Center has done special dividends on top several times in the past. So I think that's that's probably a good chance you're going to get special dividends in the future.
Forward He did touch on that 5%.
Forward PE of 13.7, and then the forward PE for the following year of 13.7. Well, I always find that interesting, because that implies no growth in earnings. So it often makes me think, well, hang on, there's a good chance they beat expectations, or maybe they'll miss expectations. Yeah. But you know,
but the beauty of it is, and what he's hoping for and everyone should be hoping for when they've got a stock that's overlooked like that or becomes unloved is the re-rating. And once the re-rating starts, that's when everyone's trying to catch up. And everyone prefers to pay for a share, you know, or a holding at a higher price than a lower price. You know, when it's going up and up and up and up, they'd rather buy them then because everyone else is buying them. But when it's unloved and it's at a 52-week low, nobody wants to buy it.
Yeah.
You know, so pre-Christmas, nobody wanted to buy any stocks. You know, the market's going up from January the, you know, the 5th onwards to, you know, up until last Thursday, we hit high. Everyone's buying, Pete.
It's interesting because it's when you look at the chart, it's had a pretty good rise since that sort of October, Liz Truss, markets in a mess kind of time. It's risen up quite nicely since that. But it looks now like it's sort of gone up and it's in a bit of a sideways. And it's all about whether, if we just check exactly what the number is, it's going to be just under, so I'd say it's about 2185 or something, 2185. If 2185 pence holds, then you're going to hold up all right. But if 2185 pence fails, it's going to drop, I would imagine.
Yeah, it's going to have difficulties.
But I really like CCC. I think so. I don't hold it.
So what I like about those five is that it's got a mix of they've all got quality within them.
Yeah.
On different sort of levels, that's the reasons why they've got that sort of quality. It's a good mix.
Yeah.
And you know, most of them pay a dividend or could pay a dividend, and there's a lot of recovery there. If they come out on surprise, any of those could do really, really well. But, those are those five. But what I wanted to do here, Pete, was quickly get you to we're backtracking here now, quickly get you to explain one of the stocks that you've got in your portfolio, which has carried your portfolio higher, which you were not expecting on this sort of tip here.
Yeah. Sorry, you mean of the stocks I hold myself, yeah?
Of the five in your portfolio, in your Twin Peaks Challenge portfolio.
Sorry.
Which you were like, crikey. When you told me the last night you were winning, I was like,
yeah.
You're winning. Why are you winning? You went, oh, well, this stock's absolutely smashed it out of the park for me. I wish I bought it.
Yeah, no. From memory, the one out of my five stocks, I couldn't even tell you what the five are. But out of five stocks, the one that's really done pretty well is Boom, B-O-O-M. That had a really, I guess when we did this, it must have been pretty much around the sort of January lows where we were doing this. And or in January, and it's gone up from sort of...
You picked yours in the December, same as me, Pete.
Was it in December? Started. Right, so around...
Yeah, we picked it well early.
Yeah, so around that time, it was probably around 400 pence or something. And it's jumped up. It's now at 487, but it was up at 600. So it had jumped up mega. But to be honest with you, it's more a case that it's in that, you know, it's done that over a year, it's done that big fall, and now it's in the sort of sideways phase. And it's doing big moves in that sideways phase. And it just so happened, it was just luck of the timing that it, you know, picked it at the low and it jumped. But I do like Boom, as I said, and one of the big reasons was that Michael Tobin, the CEO, who's got an excellent record with Telecity, he worked wonders with that business and it was taken over and he sold it off. You know, he keeps buying shares in Boom. He just keeps buying and buying and buying. And, you know, you sort of think, he's no mug, that geezer.
He must know something's coming down the pipe. Yeah.
The other one that I think has done well, because we talked about it quickly last night, is Kitwave. Yeah, that's jumped up as well. Yeah, that's that's actually done a lot better than I realized. Again, from December, it was around say 180, and then it went up to 240. It's now 220. So that's showing a nice little gain on it, you know. So it's all luck, isn't it?
A lot of it's luck, mate. A lot of it's luck, but you know, you need to be in the right place to get some luck sometimes, you know.
Do you know, it's funny because I think that the gentleman we talked, what was his name, Cypher or whatever, the guy who's...
CypherSense, yeah, CypherSense. Yeah.
The five stocks that we talked about there, the thing that he's done quite similar to what I did was that he's got a spread of quality stuff, and he's got the dividend aspect that you talked about. I've done very much the same, that I've got a spread of things and I've got the dividend angle and whatever. And I'm sort of like, you know, working on the theory that we're looking at a whole year here. So whereas a lot of people in their five stocks have gone for like five miners, five lithium miners, or five five oil plant, you know, and yeah. of course that's a win or bust strategy. It's like, if you know, you're either going to win the thing hands down and be 2,000% up, or you're going to be down 70%. You know, it's that kind of binary thing.
Binary, yes, yeah.
And funnily enough, if we have another year that's a bit up and down and whatever, it could be that what decides it is the dividend payments. It could be that ridiculous.
The interesting thing is I forget the chap's name, so apologies, but somebody contacted me, something Baxter contacted me and said, oh, are you going to be running this competition on a total returns basis, so you include dividends? And I went, yeah, absolutely. Because this is the whole point. There's lots of different points to this whole idea that I had for the competition, you know, and if we could have it whereas, you know, quite a number of stocks, I don't like the idea of anybody holding a portfolio of five stocks, because I think that's very high risk. But the beauty of it is some people have chosen stocks without a dividend paying. So we want to encourage that, because that's how you get, you know, the long-term value of your portfolio is from compounding dividends. I put a tweet out about a week or so ago about car payments, Pete, and I'll share this with people.
Yeah.
And essentially saying that the current car payments on a new car in America is $770 for a new car, which has gone up extremely from about 400 and odd when markets were done previously. And I did some maths on it, and essentially the maths were simple. If you opted not to buy the new car and instead chose to invest the $777 per month instead of making it a lump payment onto the car, and invested it for 25 years, to 25 year old, you don't get that new car, you have a different car, you save that 777. 25 to 50 years of age, you'd have £1,030,000, right? If it compounded consistently at 10%. Now, bear in mind what we said, I think a couple of podcasts ago, about the S&P 500 and its average over the long term. It's had ups and downs. It's averaged in and around that sort of 10% mark for quite
9%,
a long period
of
time.
Yeah.
And if you were to pick X amount, it's about 15 stocks in the whole of 15 or more stocks somewhere. I forget where it was, US stocks, but it showed the list of the top 20 stocks that have compounded at 20% over the past 20 years in the US. And I think in the UK, there's about a dozen-ish that have compounded at 10% over the past 20 years, a few of those as well. So it can be done. So anyone that tells you, no, you can't get 10% CAGR compounded for a long term, it can be done. Yeah, it can be done.
Absolutely, absolutely.
So there's some stats there. Go on, go.
Something I wanted to say quickly before we end and start. You sent out a tweet today basically saying that Phil Oakley is back in town.
I'm absolutely thrilled, ladies and gentlemen, because Phil had a torrid time of 2021-ish and 2022. And he's back. I'm hoping that, you know, the all the different bits and pieces we've done together over the past year or so has got him where he is now, and he's been very, very resilient. He's been tested, he's been tried, he's been beaten, he's been bruised, and he's come back. He's now through the thick of it. It's a long journey, and he's got a long journey ahead of him, but he's back on the horse. He's written out his first articles for the award-winning platform that is ShareScope, our sponsors. So I'm thrilled. First one came out today, and it's called Can Fevertree Regain Its Fizz? You get it? Yeah. Can Fevertree? Yeah, anyway. There's the title of the first article he's put out. It's on the ShareScope platform. It's free to read. It's not behind a paywall. I put a tweet out about it there. I'm hoping we see lots more articles from Phil. I'll be going to see him. Where are we now? Yeah, we're going to be in March. In a couple of weeks' time, I'll be going to see him face-to-face again. I've been in dialogue with him and speaking with him every other day for the past year and a bit.
Super.
He's a brilliant chap. You know, you guys, ladies and gents, I know how much you love him. So give him some love on social media. Tell him what you think of the article. Welcome him back. He will not be on social media for a little while, I can tell you that, but I will pass on your thoughts, prayers, and best wishes to him when I see him. I'll be speaking to him tomorrow as well. So that'll be Thursday. And I'll probably speak to him again Tuesday. It's like every other couple of days I speak to him. And I'm going to see him next month. So fantastic news. I'm absolutely chuffed for him.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure, you know, I'm sort of saying this on behalf of listeners as well. I mean, it's really great that Phil is back in this on the scene, and you know, let's hope he continues to grow, go from strength to strength. You know, it's fantastic news.
Absolutely, yeah, we're taking taking small steps, and this is the part of the journey, mate. Back, yeah. So moving on from that, Pete, because I was going to talk about that a bit later on, but you're spot on. One of the things I'd done, which surprised you as well, another surprise that you were like, what have you done there? I put a tweet out recently, ladies and gents, about the YouTube channel. And there are a few of our listeners that thankfully have subscribed onto YouTube and go onto YouTube and watch it. If you haven't done so yet, please, 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 please do so. We're ever so close to the 800 mark and we love to get to that ASAP. And what I've done is I've added the transcript so you can see the whole of the subtitles are on there as well, so you can just add subtitles if you want to. But what I've done is I've added the transcript to the entire podcast. Each podcast comes up now with a... Oh, there you go, see? I've just put it on.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
So...
So I've just put it. See, I've just put it on my phone to show people. But essentially, on the when you go onto YouTube and you go underneath it, there are three little dots on the end, and it's a drop down menu, and one of the parts of the drop down menu says transcript, and all you've got to do is hit that button, and on the right hand side, or depending on where you if you've got it on the phone, there'll be a transcript that shows you minute by minute what it is that we're spoken about. It's not 100%, like 99% perfect transcript. It's what's available via Amazon. You know, they pick up on Pete's accent or my accent and they may say something slightly different. But the transcript is there for everyone to actually utilize.
The beauty is that so basically you've got like what we're seeing now effectively as we're recording this in front of us. And then down the right-hand side, you get this transcript thing. And what people should be able to do is to, if they don't want to listen to the whole thing straight away, they can just scroll through and it's got like times on it. So it might say like 40 minutes into the podcast, like 40 minutes, and it'll say we talk about such and such a stock. So for people Absolutely. Who want to dive in quick before they listen to the whole podcast, whatever they want to do, it could be really useful for that. So that's really interesting. And it's really funny because Peter introduced that quite a few weeks ago on a tweet, and I saw it and I sort of I took a note of it, but I didn't remember to speak to Peter about it, to actually ask him what the bloody hell it was. And it was only once he explained it, I thought, that makes sense. Brilliant.
It is really good, and people have asked about it before. And for me, it's just like, oh, come on, guys, ladies, gents, you can do so much, and it's a lot of time, and I've got loads of other commitments, and I'm like, oh, you know. So I've done it now; it's done. I'm waiting for the next request. No, I'm not waiting for any more requests.
No,
don't ask me for anything else.
He's got enough to do
on the plate. No. So, but yeah, the transcript's there, ladies and gents, for you to enjoy it.
Fantastic.
And I'll ask again. Doesn't matter whether you're listening on Audio Boom, Anchor, Spotify, Amazon, Google, whatever the platform you're listening on, please, please, please just go onto YouTube and just hit the subscribe button. Whatever else you're listening to on YouTube, brilliant. If you're not listening to us on YouTube, doesn't matter. Just hit the subscribe button and get us above 800 and nearer to the 1,000. And we really, really appreciate that. One of the last things I want to share is, as I mentioned, there's more and more profit warnings coming. and there's more and more takeovers coming. If you can, check your portfolio, make sure you're having stocks that are going to be taken over and not the ones that are going to be having a profit warning. I've already had five. And I've had one takeover. So I'm hoping the balance will swing towards the takeovers going forward. And the one that got taken over, no one's happy about, including myself, is called Cape. Teddy Sagi's got 54% of the company. He's basically told the market, it doesn't care what happens at this point, it's going to be taken private. And the bid offer is at £2.85. And the share price has been as high as £2.94 because I think the market and everyone else is praying that the bid's going to be nearer to £3 or above £3. I did my sum of the parts calculations on this, and I believe that this particular company is being taken under.
Oh,
my reference is this is a take under, not a takeover, because it's being taken on the cheap. Anything below £3.50, it's being taken away from people. Underhandedly, and I purchased my shares at £2. Let me just get this right: £2.24 on the 31st of December.
Lovely.
31st of October, sorry, and £2.64 on the 25th of the 1st, 2023. And as always, when I say I've got a takeover, I have got a takeover, and I put the contract notes out as proof and transparency so people can see that. I'm not going to jump out in front of the bus and say, "Oh, I bought that." When I haven't, I don't need to do that. So I'm not happy with that bid. But what I've done, because Teddy Sagi is known for not paying up for when he takes over a stock, he's got a history of doing it. I've already sold as much as I possibly can to ensure that I've got enough off the plate to secure what is now my 52nd takeover.
Okay,
in 8 years.
Yeah.
I've sold some at 292. And take us off the table, Pete. I didn't want to risk it, and I'll just
wait
and see. If it moves above £3, I'll take some more off, and I keep just trimming.
It's a bonus.
The ultimate exit price.
Yeah,
that's where we're at, mate. More takeovers are coming, but more profit warnings are coming. And if you have a profit warning, ladies and gents, it's going to be a 20% move.
Yeah,
you know, minus 20%. So be very, very careful.
No, and I think as we say all the time, you know, just be careful. These markets, they are still moody and choppy. You know, there's. Yeah, we've had a bullish period, but that seems to have calmed down, you know. But I mean, it's still a lot to play for. We're only in February, you know, towards the end of February. It's still 10 months to go, so a lot can happen this year, good and bad. But you know, let's just keep plugging away, and things will work out. Well, as long as you're holding quality stocks, obviously.
If you're holding quality stocks, there's always room. And the conversation I had with, get his name right now, Andy Brough on the Investing Matters podcast, brilliant interview. Andy is so down to earth. And he's been investing in the market since 1987.
Oh, he's been around.
89, managing other people's money. So he's got 35 years industry experience, and he absolutely just came on cool as you like and just went religious on me regarding the markets, how to deal with it, small cap, mid cap, what he's done, when to sell, which very rare people talk about, you know, his sell strategy. Absolutely brilliant. One of the stocks that he bought was a 66 bagger, you know, all of that. Some of the stocks that haven't gone so well, talked about that. Reasons why you hold certain stocks, talked about Games Workshop, talked about Tremor, talked about Mount View, which very few people talk about.
And
Fraser, which everyone hates. Mike Ashley, why does he hold Fraser? Just loads in that particular interview. And it's on the Investing Matters platform. I've put it out a few times. You can find it on London Southeast platform as well. So please go and listen to it, because Andy's one of the best fund managers, UK fund managers that we've got. And he's still going strong and still making really good, smart, shrewd decisions. So it's an education for anybody that wants to actually listen to it. So please go and listen
to it. Sounds good, mate.
Anything else you want to add, Pete? We've been running a little while.
No, I think we're pretty much there, mate. I need to skedaddle. So I think we're about finished now.
Cool. Okay, ladies and gents, that's a wrap for Twin Peaks Investing podcast number 95. We're inching towards that big 100. We're going to be a centurion. Keep the back going, you know. keeps them out of the park. Hopefully you guys and ladies and gents will enjoy this. We'll look forward to your feedback. So please share your feedback with Pete as well. And if you're replying to Pete because he's so busy and he very rarely sees his responses, just add my Twitter handle into the response to Pete. So at Conkers3 and at Wheelie Dealer. And that way we're both guaranteed to see it. And
yeah,
we'll both try to reply to you, ladies and gents, as and when you give us a feedback. Retweet it, reshare it, make your comments, good, bad or indifferent. And Pete and I will try and reply to you. We're going to name the number one winner, the first winner for February in the next podcast. And we're going to announce what the prize or prizes are.
Excellent.
Happy days.
Yeah,
all right, ladies and gents, take care. God bless. Be happy. Go to the seaside. Go out to the greenery. Go and take some walks. Get out of the house. Go and see some friends. Love your family. Love everybody else. And also take care of yourself and provide yourself with some self-care, like I do with my cancer stuff. Oops, sorry, with my walks and my meditation. All right. Mindfulness. Take care, people.
See you later.
Take care. God bless. Bye-bye for now. Bye-bye.
This Twin Peaks Investing Podcast is brought to you in association with ShareePad from ShareScope, the UK's number one investment data and analysis software for private investors and traders. Visit ShareScope.co.uk and discover the advantage.